There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you'll only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the night's broadcast. Obviously, I'm not Rob Pugh. I'm Pastor Butch Paul, filling in tonight for Rob. And I hope you don't mind me coming in and intruding in your life for an hour or so. I pray the night will give you something that will bless you and educate you in some ways. We're going to bring up a very special guest in just a minute. We're going to talk to a guy named Dane Wigington of geoengineeringwatch.org. Geoengineeringwatch.org. You're going to be hearing some things tonight that a lot of you probably already know. A lot of things that you won't know. Maybe you learn something new tonight for ammunition to reach other people with. Before I do that, though, obviously, our world is absolutely in shambles, falling to pieces. Our country is literally almost a civil war. And that's not an exaggeration. That's, in my mind, where we're heading if something doesn't change very quickly. But we see everything happening in the Middle East. Obviously, Israel's going to go into Iran real soon when that happens. Russia will get involved, so will China. We'll obviously see a lot of interesting things happen, in my opinion, before election. But if you've been watching the news lately, you've seen some crazy weather. I mean, some really weird weather. Here, I live in West Virginia, up in the mountains. And to have 90-degree day here in the hills is fairly rare. We don't get up to the 90s very often. But we went over 100 several times this year, and a very dry, I mean very dry summer. To the point that a little town called Richwood, West Virginia, was running out of water. They had to tap into a lake to get some water into the place. And if it started raining, they started trucking water into the town. That's how dry it was. I'd never known it before that happened in our area. It may have, but I don't remember it. This is the hottest and dry summer that I can remember in my lifetime. And that's a fact. Now it's getting a little bit cooler. It's in the fall. We had a bit of rain. Things are changing somewhat with this weather, though, with the hurricanes coming in, moving in strange ways across country. You don't see many hurricanes hit up the East Coast and veer to the West. But it did. You don't see that. And then a few days later, a storm go from a Category 1 to Category 5 in a matter of a few hours. Those things don't just happen. Our guest tonight, Dane Wigington, is going to shed some light on this. You know, it's kind of funny. Y'all, if you watch the news at all, you probably heard Biden saying the other day that these people that are conspiracy theorists think that the federal government actually controls the weather. And folks, when he said that, you know that they do, because they have tendencies, politicians have a tendency to lie. But Ginger Z, the ABC news lady, also said, and I watched with my own eyes, that they've been spraying chemtrails since the 1940s and 50s. What's chemtrails, preacher? Look up. You'll see them. But they're increasing all the time. So either Biden's lying or Ginger Z's lying. And I think once you hear the facts, you're going to realize that we are being played like a fiddle and destroyed every day worldwide. Let's bring up our guest, Dane Wigington. Again, he's with geoengineeringwatch.org. Check out that website. You'll be glad you did. Dane, are you there?
Hear you loud and clear, Pastor Butch.
It is so good to have you, my friend. And I mean that. I know the last few weeks you've been hammered. People have been coming in to talk to you and want to know what's going on. And you're trying to spread the news all the globe. And I love listening to your broadcast on the weekends, and you very calmly state the facts, tell people the truth, and move on. And I said to you before about one thing that bothers me, and I've seen in my lifetime, the last few years especially, I'm watching the bird population disappear. And I thought, well, I'm going to check this out, make sure I'm not just, it's not just in my head. Would you believe that in America, we've lost in the area of 3 billion birds in the last few years? That's one out of every 4 birds that was in this country has died since 2017. One out of every 4. So that's 25% of the birds are gone. And I think it's probably higher than that. But I'm seeing wildlife dissipate. I'm watching bobwhite quail are going. Whippoorwills are going. Robins are scarce. I mean, I'm watching this with my own eyes. I thought, I'm going to check this out and make sure I'm not imagining this, and I'm not. But I know we've got a lot more to talk about besides that, but that's one of the things that opened my eyes to weather change many years ago, was watching wildlife disappear. Go ahead.
That figure of 25% is conservative by perhaps 2 times. It's likely closer to 70 or 75% of the
population. I agree.
We have statistics on global wildlife populations. Your listeners can look this up. I'd encourage them to do so, Pastor Butch. And if you listen to my broadcast, and you know, I always encourage only that. Please don't believe anything I say. Please investigate it. So we have statistics on global wildlife populations down 70%+ in the last 40 years alone. And that statistic is conservative. Insect populations down 80 to 90%. So is it?
No, I'm going to pause there a second. The wildlife down, you said how much?
Over 70% in just the last 40 years alone.
What species are you talking about? Can you give us some specifics on that?
That's across the board.
Across the board.
That's a total average of wildlife populations, period. So you have some populations that might not be quite as low, others that are much higher. So again, that's a global average wildlife population statistic.
Wow. And you said 80% of what was getting disappeared? Insects?
80 to 90% of global insect populations are gone, terrestrial and aquatic.
This summer, I told my wife, Marcia, we were, the front porch light was on, we were on the front porch. No millers, very few mosquitoes, very, very few of anything around that light. You know, in the summertime, lights drew all kinds of bugs, but they're not there, which means that birds that eat them are going hungry and disappearing. I mean, is that a fair statement?
That's exactly accurate. You're exactly right.
Go ahead, Dane. Go ahead.
Again, with statistics like this, why isn't there an absolute priority focus on the fact that the planet's life support systems are imploding? They're imploding by the day. And what's happening in our skies, Pastor Butch, and again, this is truly profound, how the vast majority, at least so far, and I hope that changes, have accepted the official denial of what they can see with their own eyes. Obviously, climate intervention operations are going on. And are you still there, Pastor Butch?
No, I'm still here.
Yeah, I heard a big ding there. I want to make sure I didn't lose you. But we have governments all over the world saying we need to immediately put jets in the sky to spray light scattering particles to block some of the sun's incoming thermal energy. And we have the entire global climate science community saying, pushing for the exact programs we see already operational in our skies. So the official denial for most of the public has so far kept them from acknowledging what is clearly ongoing, but that's changing in the last even 2 weeks, Pastor Butch. They're beating the door down at geoengineeringwatch.org. We're hearing from people all over the globe that are waking up, looking up, connecting the dots, and understanding we're under weather warfare assault, period.
We know what's happening here in this country. We live here. We're going to discuss the storms that were created over the last few weeks. What do you see happening on a worldwide scale?
Well, this is, you know, where the inarguable conclusions are not what anybody wants to hear. A collapse is inevitable at this point. This paradigm can't be maintained much longer. Those in power know it, and that's why they're maneuvering their chess pieces as fast as they can. That's why they've tried to cull the herds in faster form in the last few years. I mean, obviously, the COVID-19 scenario, would we have a published science journal, Journal Nature, that published in 2015, the gain of function characteristic was engineered into that pathogen. There's no debate. There's no speculation. There's no theory or hypothesis. That's where that came from. And when we have the same global powers or individuals stating that 95% of the population needs to go, how hard are these dots to connect? So when we look up and see weather that's clearly being manipulated, and we go all the way back to 1962, and I know I've discussed this special, but maybe some of the listeners haven't heard or seen this. It's the first 30 seconds on every weekly commercial-free, political-free global alert news update on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. It's Lyndon Johnson, U.S. President Lyndon Johnson, 62 years ago, for the listeners that haven't heard this or seen this, he's on film on the record, stating we had the power to control the world's cloud layer then, and he who controls the weather controls the world. So that's what these programs are about. They're not benevolent. They're completely malevolent, and they're destroying what little is left of the planet's life support system. So whatever other causes or concerns people have, if we don't stop what's happening in the skies, again, not only destroying the life support system, but it's contaminating every breath we take. If we don't stop this, very soon, all of the causes and concerns will be moot.
Well, you know, and I think that probably the reason they're pushing for world war is another move in their measure to maybe get our minds off certain issues, but also what better way to thin population than have a world war, especially a nuclear war. I don't know whether that's going to happen or not, but it certainly is pointing in that direction.
You're exactly right. Your conclusions are exactly right. You're exactly on target. That's one of their final cards, global conflict. And for the record, there are circles of power in Washington that are openly discussing what they see as a benefit of a limited nuclear exchange to put enough particulate matter into the skies to slow down the runaway warming of the planet. Is that not the epitome of insanity?
Wow. Yeah, to imagine what the after effects are going to be with all that in the sky, radiation, all the particulars of that. I mean, can you imagine what that's going to do to the world, wildlife, and people? What that would just about wipe out the planet. Maybe that's part of their plan, Dane.
I can tell you what it would do. I mean, we know what it will do mathematically and statistically. That ionizing radiation would strip away what little is left of the ozone layer. Game over. Done. It's over at that point. So again, we're not dealing with sanity, because Pastor Butch, I know we've discussed this before, but many listeners immediately ask, why would they, and who are they? They are those who print the money. That's who controls militaries. That's who controls governments, those who print the money. Why would they do this to themselves? And again, as I pointed out, they already have detonation of 2,400 nuclear bombs. We have Project Starfish Prime and Project Fishbowl, the detonation of hydrogen bombs in the magnetosphere that they thought could collapse the entire atmosphere. Did that stop them? No. We're not dealing with sanity. And the population needs to realize this and turn off the football game, turn off the scripted political theater. Elections are a facade. Yeah. The same purpose, drive a wedge into society, polarize them, distract them from the oncoming train. The same with all the outrageous societal issues now that are forced on us. And I know we all know what those are, all designed to distract populations from the oncoming train.
And it really has. I mean, I'm so sick of politics. When I hear a political ad coming on, I watch something else to do. I just don't want to hear it. I don't care. We are so sucked into this and have been for many, many decades now, all my life and longer. But that's how they divide us. That's how they keep us occupied, entertain us with all different things. And let's face it, Dane, computers and cell phones are another way of entertaining people while they collapse the economy and destroy the world. That was all part of the plan. Keep people entertained. If their minds are not on it, they don't want to believe it. When you tell people what you've been trying to tell them, how many years have they laughed at you?
Over 20.
Over 20.
They're not laughing anymore. I mean, our door's being kicked in from people wanting interviews and large sources, sites, and I'm grateful for that. I'm very grateful for that. As far as economic anything, the population needs to understand, if there's no functional environment, there is no economy.
That's true.
You can't have an economy built on extractive everything. It's a snake eating its own tail. Obviously, it can't continue. Global tree population, Pastor Butch, down about 66% pre-civilization.
Wow.
66%, wow. And the trees that remain are dead and dying. And now, I've stated for 20 years that the respiratory process is diminishing. In the last 10, they've all but stopped. It's called VPD, vapor pressure deficit, the stomata on the from everything from forest to crops. The respiratory ports are shutting. The intense UV, which, by the way, is a result of the collapsing ozone layer, which climate engineering is the greatest single causal factor, that's bombarding the trees as well, causing the stomata to shut. But the trees are not breathing, they're not absorbing carbon, they're not releasing oxygen. And just this week, finally, acknowledgement from the climate science community of exactly what I've stated for 20 years. Why did it take them so long to admit what I knew? Can't tell me they didn't know. So, again, they only tell the truth when they can't hide it any longer. And I would argue this, for the immediacy of what we face, the power structure knows the moment the population wakes up to the fact that the party's over, the party really is over at that point, because they'll play much bigger.
Well, I've been in this world 76 years. I'm not a young anymore. I grew up in the mountains of West Virginia. So at the time I was in the military and the Vietnam era and all those places, but I grew up in this country, and I have watched, you said, I've watched trees, different breeds of trees. All the elm trees died off in our area. Oak trees are starting to look pretty, or look poorly. Beech trees are starting not to do what they used to do. A lot of these things are happening. And I got to ask you this question, Dane. How are they killing these trees? What are they using?
Well, again, it's a combination of factors. When you have toxic rain, we literally have toxic rain. So that affects soil microbiome. And most people don't realize there's more organisms living below the surface of the soil than above. It's an incredibly miraculous system of life. It's all interconnected, and you can't wipe it out and expect anything to live. And other elements like aluminum, Pastor Butch, which is toxic to all life forms, no exceptions. That's a primary element in climate engineering patents, aluminum nanoparticles. Why would they use aluminum? Because of its reflectivity, and that's their stated goal, to reflect the sun's incoming thermal energy. No consideration of the consequences to all life. And your listeners can see this very specifically highlighted in the Geoengineering Watch documentary, The Dimming, available on our homepage. So this material is saturating soils, waters, root systems. Pastor Butch, you see when the wind blows now how many trees tip over, and the root balls are deteriorating. They're not nearly as big as they should be, because they're dying back, just like they're dying back. So all these factors, including the UV, the cutting off of the hydrological cycle like they're doing to us here in California. Imagine what it would be like where you live if you hadn't had rain for 6 months, with temperatures pushing 100 or more every day, nighttime temperatures in the 80s and 90s, literally, in a formerly lush forest of Northern California where I live. No rain, 6 months. How does this, I mean, everything's dying here, everything, and they're not letting it rain here. So when we see a disaster like Helene, which was, we can speculate on the agendas and objectives. I'm not going to go there. But the fact that storm was steered, that's beyond debate. We recorded the frequency transmission steering of that storm. So we see a sensationalized event like that that highlighted climate engineering, and in my opinion, they overplayed their hand with Helene. People now know.
Well, I do know. Well, you just made a statement. We'll get back to Helene and Milton just in a second. But you made a statement that they're not allowing it to rain enough. People are, what do you mean they're not allowing it to rain? How do you stop rain? The same way you make rain, you control the weather. And I, for many, when I first started on the radio back in 1993, I discussed one of the churches, a pastor, about weather control. And we had treaties about weather control. We used weather control in other nations. And the church literally pretty much laughed me out of the building. And I said, do you realize when I was in Vietnam and Thailand and Laos, we had an operation called Operation Popeye, where you made it rain on the Ho Chi Minh Trail trying to stop the supplies from coming into North Vietnam. But even with the proof of that, they still poo-pooed it. So I'm hoping now, Dane, with what they're seeing, people realizing that we weren't crazy. We're trying to tell them about these things, you much more than I. But we've been played like a fiddle for many years, haven't we?
Yes, and that's a primary example you bring up, Project Popeye. The U.S. military was so successful at controlling the flow of precipitation that, yes, as you stated, also the NMOD treaties passed in the 70s, forbidding weather modification in wartime. Not that anybody pays attention to those treaties. Go back even further, Project Cirrus in 1947, the U.S. military's first intervention with a hurricane, they dumped less than 100 pounds of material into that storm, and it appeared to have a profound effect on its trajectory, so much so that instead of veering out into the ocean, it turned back and went into land. And there was a lot of legal ramifications brewing from that, because they had publicized that adventure. And then they walked it back, denied it, claimed that they were going to not intervene anymore. And obviously we know that that's not what they did, but imagine that. So we have historical acknowledgement of a very minimal input into a hurricane because it affects the atmospheric chemistry, having a profound effect on that storm. And yet we have President Joe Biden this week telling us our government can't control the weather and how idiotic it is, as he barely slurs out those words. It's, and we had even CNN covered an exchange I just had with Alex Jones on InfoWars. It was on CNN. And with, and their denial of this was so transparent and so flimsy. I mean, anybody can see through it. I mean, it's not happening because we say it's not happening. Is that how weak their position is at this point? It is. And that's about where they're at. And they know now, the public is apparently pushing back, because the New York Times just published an article that meteorologists are being confronted by populations now. And why would we expect otherwise? Should populations be happy that they're being lied to by so-called climate experts that are just trying to protect their paychecks and pensions and will say whatever the power structure tells them to say? They're literally reading a script, Pastor Butch. That's how they know.
Oh, yeah. That's how they know.
And here in Northern California, we'll have the local meteorologist, who, by the way, we taped on a radio show that he didn't know. We taped him stating geoengineering is real, it's happening. And he said, but the chemicals aren't toxic or dangerous. Wait, what? You're denying this, but now you're saying it's real? And you somehow know the chemicals aren't. I taped it and put it on the air. The radio station threatened to sue me. I told them, go ahead, do it, and we'll really bring this to light. And they backed off. But we have local meteorologists here a week in advance. They somehow know that at 7 days out, there'll be a day that's, quote, mostly sunny or filtered sunshine, which we get all the time here. And what's that mean? Not a real cloud in the sky, nowhere, just jet sprayed aerosol dispersions. How could they possibly know that a week in advance unless they're reading a script?
I agree. And with the clear back to 1947, they were seeding the clouds to cause storms to grow and to direct them. How much, that's been 77 years ago. How much more are they doing now that we don't know about? And you mentioned Helene, and of course, after that come Milton. Talk about a storm that really made some weird moves. Helene, oh my, I went tomorrow night. I have a deputy, the name of Trip Kester, on my radio show at 8 o'clock p.m. tomorrow night. And folks, you can listen to it if you want to go listen to the radio broadcast. GSradio.net, Global Star, GSradio.net. This is our program on Star 5. But anyway, he's from North Carolina. He'll be telling some of the inside story that people are not hearing on ABC. He's a deputy in North Carolina. We've been lied to by the news media so much. But people are starting to catch on to it. They're getting a bit angry. I mean, literally getting angry with the lies been going on. But look at the damage. Look, we heard about North Carolina mostly. Look at the damage done in the mountains of North Carolina, where it never floods. It's in the mountains. I hear where I live in West Virginia. We don't get floods up here, but they did there. Isn't that kind of strange?
Again, they can direct precipitation. To back up to what we mentioned earlier about climate engineering stopping rainfall, aerosol dispersion operations are far more effective at, I'm getting a feedback, so maybe the sound tech can knock that out. But I hope you can hear me still, Pastor Butch.
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Climate intervention operations are far more effective at thwarting rainfall, dispersing it, and eliminating it than even augmenting it. So they can create droughts even easier than they can floods. But bottom line, they can control both, and they are. So again, we can speculate about the agendas and objectives in play. But the fact that they have their hand on the spigot, they decide where it rains, how much it rains, and how toxic that rain is beyond dispute. In regard to the steering of Hurricane Helene, I would encourage listeners, go to the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Under the recent column, it's about three posts down, steering Hurricane Helene 90-second alert report. Look at the frequency transmissions recorded as Hurricane Helene made landfall and migrated where it did in North Carolina. And it's the narrative there will explain what you're seeing. It's inarguable, patented processes of steering and manipulating that storm. The frequency transmissions have a repelling effect. and you can see exactly what it did to that storm in real time as it was happening. You can look up geoengineeringwatch.org hurricanes, Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Ian, Hurricane Michael,
Katrina, and all of them.
All those. We missed Katrina, but we recorded the rest. We have about a half a dozen reports. Same thing. It's absolutely inarguable. Inarguable steering of these storms. So again, agendas and objectives, we can debate that. But the fact these systems are being manipulated is absolutely beyond debate. And why in the world would they? Why would we think they're not doing this? When we have the Washington Post telling us, and I've cited this fact before, but it's important. As of 1977, that the U.S. military had conducted no less than 239 open-air biological tests on innocent, unknown U.S. civilians. This is business as usual. There's nothing unusual about what they're doing here. They serve those in power. They don't serve the U.S. citizens.
That's true. That's true. And, you know, 15 years ago, maybe even longer, I had a radio show with a guest on who said that they are going to be able to control weather, as you mentioned, make it rain where they want to rain and no rain where they didn't want to rain. They would do it in different regions of the country. They'd have a drought in one area, floods in another area. And I didn't disbelieve the person. I knew that probably they're working towards that. But now you can see the evidence that everywhere. The evidence that is really so easy to see. And we never had a drought that I remember. My lifetime, like I had this summer here in West Virginia, nor the heat. And in Northern California, where you are, you said things are drying up to the point that they're just disappearing. Of course, forest fires are crazy out your way. So all these things I heard about many, many years ago. I didn't understand how they're going to do it, and I still don't understand all of it. But you certainly see the evidence of it, can't you?
Anybody that's not clinically blind should be able to see this. But what blinds more than anything else, what does the proverb say? There's not so blind as those who refuse to see. Ideology and programming and preconception is the greatest blinder of all. And that needs to change because we don't have much time. I want to stress that. It's not hard to conclude that when we have crashing insect populations, crashing plankton populations, crashing fish populations, crashing crops, how long do we think we're going to be here? And what happens when 8 billion people don't have enough to eat? People have no, it's difficult. I do this all day, every day, 24/7, 20 years. I've never left my post. And it's difficult for me to conceive the totality of what's about to happen. When this whole paradigm that was never sustainable, and back to the military-industrial complex and our military brothers and sisters that are part of this, they're compartmentalized. They're told you're doing something good, something benevolent. Don't ask questions. Just do follow orders. That needs to change. They need to remember their oath to their country to protect against all threats, foreign and domestic. So the bottom line is, if we can expose this issue, if our military brothers and sisters realize what they're participating in and their families realize, let's hope they stand down.
Amen. And, you know, even Christ himself spoke in Matthew 20, 24 and Luke 22 and other places about the end times. And he said be storms and be torn, earthquakes and different diverse places and all manner of situations happening. But he didn't say that he was going to do it directly. He's letting man judge himself. Earthquakes can also be programmed, can they not?
They can, and that is hard science. It's not speculation. And Pastor Butch, you know, even a fracking well can cause a quake. Now, you've heard about the fracking quakes, right?
Oh, yes.
So with frequency transmission in a seismically sensitive zone, this is not disputed scientifically, it's extremely well documented, can cause seismic activity. So let's look at some of the more extreme examples. The 2011 Japanese earthquake. We have institutions as reputable and well-known as MIT stating on the record that they monitored what they called, quote, extremely anomalous atmospheric heating directly above the epicenter of the Japanese earthquake for 3 days prior to that quake. They can't explain it. And because they can't and won't address ionosphere heaters like HAARP. HAARP is an ionosphere heater. It's a weapon of mass destruction. For listeners that don't know what HAARP is, you can look that up. You can research it. Keep in mind, you'll find a lot of data that says it's just a benign research facility, nothing to see here. That's the narrative we would expect from those in power. That's how they do these things in plain sight. But HAARP is a directional transmitter. It can bounce signals off the now reflective atmosphere and then thus back down into the strata. And when you microwave a seismically sensitive area of a zone of strata, you will cause seismic activity eventually, 3 days. To add credence to this, General Albert Stubblebine, the highest ranking U.S. military officer to ever speak out about 9/11 and what really happened that day, he was a personal friend. And General Burt told me his Pentagon contacts told him Japan was allying with its regional partners. The U.S. didn't want that. They wanted to send a shot across Japan's bow. They didn't intend Fukushima. They didn't intend the meltdown. But when you trigger 9.0 earthquakes, bad things happen. It's like dropping a nuclear bomb and saying, well, we only intended to kill this one person over here, but we wiped out the whole city. That's their mentality. So in any event, on the seismic activity, we have many more examples of that. There's a massive ionosphere heater in Antarctica. So we have John Kerry during a presidential election flying to Antarctica during the election, of which he was a part, and then flying back to Christchurch, New Zealand, pulling all the U.S. Diplomats and ambassadors out. 4 hours later, Christchurch gets hit with a massive earthquake. Is that just a coincidence? Same thing happened in Haiti. Same exact scenario. Turkey. You remember Turkey told the U.S. to leap?
And
5 days later, it hit with swarms of quakes. This is not a coincidence. I mean, people should connect the dots. They do have weapons this terrible. And for people that don't believe that, go back 100 years. If you went back 100 years and told them then that in a very short time you'd be able to talk on a little box with no wires to anyone anywhere in the world, they would lock you up.
They'd lock you away.
Yep, they would. So again, you know, need to
reality. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's you're right. We're on the same page.
And, you know, by the way, we got people I think are wanting to chime in and maybe make statements, but I don't know how to do that. Folks, I'm brand new to this. And if John, if you're out there and you listen and somebody wants to say something, you have to walk me through it. I don't know how to get to the people to have them come on and say what they want to say, if that's what they're trying to do. And I'm sorry, folks, I don't understand about this. I'm not at all computer literate. I'm really not. I wish it had never been invented. But anyway, it is what it is. So, Dane, with all your intelligence gathering from 20 years and with what you've seen accumulating, not just it didn't just start and stop. It's still accumulating and gaining in force and power for weather control manipulation. What do you see happening this, say, by the end of this decade? I mean, we're talking about 2025 next year. What do you see happening in the next 4 or 5 years as far as production, food, and other things, if this isn't somehow slowed down?
This is where the rational, statistical, mathematical conclusion to this trajectory becomes very unpalatable. If we remain on the current course, statistically, mathematically, it is unlikely anyone will be here at the end of this decade. And I understand how hard to fathom that is for people, because it somehow magically keeps chugging along. Compare this to the fuse on a stick of dynamite that burns along at its particular pace until it hits that critical moment. And that's the moment we're at, because the moment that there's not enough food to put on the shelves, all this massively complex structure known as industrialized, militarized society collapses at that moment. And this is not even taking into account, again, nuclear exchange or the nuclear power plants that will melt down as societal collapse unfolds. We have about 442 nuclear power plants around the globe. And you and I have been over this, but some listeners today may not understand this trajectory. We've damaged the atmosphere. Climate engineering, the single most damaging factor of all. Now, with a large solar flare or even a nuclear exchange, we have grids that will shut down around the globe. And now we have, again, 442 nuclear power plants that won't be able to cool themselves. And with societal collapse and no one demand those plants, they will go into meltdown. It takes about 2 to 3 decades to coal shut down a nuclear power plant. We don't have time, anywhere near that much time. So now we're going to have 100 or 200 or 300 nuclear power plant meltdowns, Fukushima's. Game over again. So again, we've painted ourselves into an unimaginably dark corner. If you can hear the planes flying over, there's a fire that is ignited and burning north of here about 6 or 7 miles. I'm hoping the wind doesn't change, because once something starts, they almost can't stop it. Wow. Those are firefighting aircraft flying over now. So again, people don't, the populations have not been trained or taught to understand the exponential equation. And that's what we face, the exponential equation. And so once we reach this critical tipping point, everything goes exponential, and they've done everything they can to bubblegum and bailing wire the current reality together to feed normalcy bias in populations that think if Walmart's open and Costco's open and McDonald's is selling Big Macs, what could be wrong? And that's how they think. And the Amazon's burning to the ground. I just got the latest statistics from the Amazon. There's been about 70,000 fires there this year. 70,000 individual fires. Amazon's done. Amazon forest, lungs of the planet, it's done. The rivers are dry. It's burning to the ground. Great Barrier Reef is done. We went over the insect populations, trees. We're losing species right now overall. Let's put this into context. We're losing species right now at the rate of 200 to 300 a day. Many of those species haven't even been identified. People don't know that. They think we know of everything on the planet. Not even close. Fraction of what is here. 200 to 300 species a day, plant, animal, and insect going extinct.
And that's, you stop and think, I just want to say this, you stop and think that each one of those species is a link in the biological order of nature. When they're gone, yeah, that's something missing to make the other links don't function as well either, do they?
You're completely, completely correct. It's called co-extinction. When one species go extinct, those dependent on that species also go extinct, and so on down the line. So that rate is about 15,000 times greater than the background extinction rate. That's 1.5% of normal. How could that possibly continue? People have no idea how grave our situation is and how immediate. On any given day at this point, as the power structure knows, the public is waking up and about to panic, they're going to play bigger cards. Now, I don't want to paralyze people, because we're trained that unless you have a happy ending, don't try. Don't bother. Is that what Scripture says? I don't think so. Scripture says you man your post till you're relieved, period. And so what I would argue is that no matter how dark the horizon looks, if all of us properly prioritized, this is the biggest hole in the bottom of the boat, the greatest assault against creation ever launched by mankind. If we all did our part, start spot fires of awareness with credible data. I want to emphasize that, credible data. You don't just go online and see what some site that's looking for views has put out for a clickbait thumbnail, and you start regurgitating that. Don't do that. Know you're reciting credible data. GeoengineeringWatch.org tries to be that source. Share credible data from a credible source and ask others to do so. Do the same, and we could make that an exponential equation as well and bring this to light. If we can bring it to light, we have a chance of stopping it. If we can do that, we can buy time.
Well, you know, we're seeing, excuse me, economically, tying into this also with our structure in America, and I'm sure around the world, but I live in the USA. We're watching food processing plants blow up, burn down by the dozens. I mean, we're watching companies that have been in business for years closing doors and laying people off and declaring bankruptcy. We're seeing that happen every day. It's not just every now and then. This is almost a common function in our society in America today. We're seeing all these things happen to cut back on the amount of food that we can produce. What better way than wipe out chicken houses where eggs come from, or chicken comes from, or cattle processing plants? And it's happening all over this country, and I'm sure around the world. Along with the bioengineering killing the planet, and we do this in addition to that, we should start seeing some huge things happening, even food sources in the next few months or years, shouldn't we?
Weeks and months. And this is all part of the powers that shouldn't be tightening the noose. They are tightening the noose right now.
And I just wonder, though, I can see it, and I'm not the brightest bulb in the house, but I can see the shortages already starting on not all kinds of things, just one thing here, one thing there, and it varies a little bit. I can see shortages happening already. Of course, prices going through the roof. They have been the last 3-4 years. We're seeing all these things happen, but I think this is Bible called the beginning of sorrows. I believe this is going to get much worse at a much more rapid pace. And who knows what's going to happen between now and election, if we have an election. Who knows what's going to happen right after the election, no matter which side wins. We're on the verge, Dane, of a total societal meltdown in this country. People are getting angry, frustrated, and they found out what you know and try and tell them. If they found it out, and I don't know what the future would hold. You know, I'm surprised already that somewhere down in North Carolina, when these black choppers are flying around blowing the goods all over the parking lot, they had stacked up to give people. So I'm surprised somebody didn't shoot the chopper. I mean, this is where we're headed for. And with all the other stress now you're showing us that's coming on our world and our nation, this could be a tipping point that really could blow us over the edge. I hope not, but I don't see any reprieve from it right now. I just don't see it. I don't see people getting their eyes open fast enough at a quick enough pace to change this. Do you?
Under any scenario, we're through the guardrail. Again, as an example, I've also given a lot because it's clear for those who have seen Thelma and Louise. We're in the Thelma and Louise moment. We've blown through the guardrail. We're sailing through the air, heading to the bottom of the canyon. And the question now is, will anyone survive the ride? And as far as the wake-up goes, we are hearing now from, and I have interviews scheduled with, former U.S. military, special forces individuals, big platforms, very big followings that are now awakening to this issue, and they realize what their government's a part of, and those are important people to reach, very important people, and we are reaching them now. So again, the faster we raise consciousness to the point where we understand what's happening and why, that those in control are clinically insane, literally. I'm not saying that metaphorically. They're literally clinically insane. And we have science study of that, by the way, for those that don't know. I know I've mentioned this to you before, Pastor Butch, but psychoanalysis of those who quest and crave power is that they have a common thread, and that's a near total lack of comprehension as to the consequences of their actions, even to themselves. So it goes back to this, why would they do this to themselves? Again, we're not dealing with sanity. So the sooner we can bring this to light with enough people, especially military and former military, the better chance we have of altering course enough to hopefully salvage some part of the planet's life support systems, because we're hurtling towards what's known as Venus syndrome, and that's not a metaphor. Again, all the feedback loops in play right now, that is the trajectory we're on, and it's believed, based on available data, that if we reach a CO2 equivalent, and you hear people talk about CO2 a lot. It's been higher in the past. Yes, it has. Temperatures have been higher in the past. Yes, they have. But that took place over incredibly long spans of time, and we had a functional atmosphere then. We don't now. What's happening now is happening hundreds of times faster than that time. So when you change atmospheric chemistry this fast and eliminate essential parts of that chemistry, like the ozone layer, you have a completely unknown situation. So the current science indicates that if we reach a CO2 equivalent of 1,200 parts per million, the planet's ability to produce cloud cover may diminish and disappear. That's game over. And right now, even though the official CO2 count is about 430 ppm, that doesn't take into account methane or nitrous oxide. When you add those gases and their CO2 equivalent, we're about 800 to 900 ppm equivalent. We're quite close to that threshold where the planet's cloud producing functions may cease to function. And we don't see, by the way, we don't see clouds here in Northern California. We almost no clouds for it. We do occasionally, but very seldom. It's typically just aerosol clouds, and the heat just never abates. It never abates, and that's, it's that way here right now. So We're in uncharted territory, Pastor Butch.
Well, you know, when you talk about leaders not having conscience, most of them are narcissists, at least. I mean, that's what they are. That's why they're, most of them are in office. It's all about them and nothing else. But when you see, you mentioned the climate and the change, and I personally have noticed in the last several years, maybe I'm just getting old. Maybe I always think, maybe I'm just getting old, it's different. But the sun feels like it's much hotter and more intense when I'm outside. Is that me, or is that really happening?
Collapsing ozone layer. We're very close to functional collapse. We're getting UVC in the surface. And for those that hear, there's certain sites and sources and putting out completely ludicrously false narratives that we're entering an ice age, it's getting colder. I don't know what planet they are on. They're not on this planet. For the record, we're approaching 50 consecutive years of every single month being above normal historical temperatures. Every single month. it's like 600 months now. It's 50 years. So again, I don't know what planet is cooling. It's not this one. And the chemical ice nucleation, that's one we didn't touch on yet. The flash cools that are about to happen in the Carolinas and other places, a flash cool down, and that's going to make it miserable there, even more miserable. What's going to come after that? More record heat. At least that's what's scheduled for the moment. Our record heat here, they just, in 2 hours, 2 days ago, Butch, in 2 hours, they changed our entire two-week forecast. Someone changed the schedule from continued baking well into the fall to suddenly now they're showing a chance of rain every day, although they'll likely diminish and disperse that because that's part of how they cool the surface down. They use the rain. It's an endothermic reaction, like a swamp cooler, Pastor. But you know what an evaporative cooler is, right?
Right, right.
So as it evaporates the water, it creates cooler air. And that's more or less what they're doing with the storms, except it's a chemical process that enhances that endothermic reaction. But so they changed the whole in 2 hours here. So the script is all over the board at this point. But they show a flash cool down for big parts of the U.S. They'll sensationalize that flash cool down. It's a very shallow layer of surface cold. If you go up 1,000 or 2,000 feet, you're into much warmer air, but nobody talks about that. So they're simply at this point trying to mask the totality of what's unfolding from populations until the last possible second. That's what they're doing. And with chemical processes, and again, the chemical ice nucleation, and we talked about this before, Pastor Butch, again, baseball and softball size hail falling everywhere now, that's chemical ice nucleation that's causing that.
Well, we know they make artificial snow, literally. I mean, it won't melt. I mean, it's just, we've seen that, chemical snow. But I know in my lifetime, when I grew up here in the hills of West Virginia, when we got wintertime, we had snow, and I'm not exaggerating this at all. You could walk over top fence posts, never see them. I mean, that's truth. They would send a snowblower through before you send a snowplow through the next day, get to school. The snow would blow to how long a road you couldn't sit the bus windows. That's the kind of snows we used to have. We're lucky. I shouldn't maybe love the right word or not, but we don't get more than maybe 4 or 5 or 6 inches at a time anymore in the state. That's not natural for us. We used to have really hard winters and very decently warm summers. We have plenty of water from the snowpack. Everything, you know, the snow fed the Crickstone way up in the summertime. But this has all changed, Dane. It's no longer true. And I'm not saying global warming is really happening, but it's not called by you and I or a cow passing gas. It's global engineering, is it not?
That's where we need to be careful again, because what the power structure has done is successfully pitted two demographics against each other. So one side recognizes we've been very bad stewards of the planet, that every form of human activity that affects the energy balance of the planet is a part of the problem. And they've pitted that side, the environmental groups and so forth, against another side that recognizes climate engineering. So that if climate engineering is mentioned, as it has been a lot in the last 2 weeks, you have this whole other demographic that automatically immediately assumes that anyone who mentions climate engineering denies all other forms of damage to the planet. And so that hampers this fight. And our position at geoengineeringwatch.org is, as you know, no legitimate discussion about climate anything can take place from any perspective without first and foremost addressing climate engineering. But I want to be clear. Our extractive, industrialized, militarized current paradigm is unimaginably destructive. And we're going through right now over 100, it's hard to even conceive of this, 100 million barrels of carbon fuel a day going into the air, 26 million tons of coal a day going into the air. We're cutting down the forests. We're paving the planet. We're poisoning the oceans. That's all a problem. But when you intentionally intervene in what's left of the planet's life support systems, now you're pounding the final nails into the collective coffin and use weather as a weapon. And that's what this is. That's what they're doing. So again, it's not a this or that. It's an all the above. And for many people, they haven't, they've been trained not to think that way. You're either on the blue team or the red team. But this is much more complicated.
So that's very true. The blue, red team, blue team. I'm just sick of hearing that. But that's very true. And as long as, excuse me, they can keep us fighting among ourselves, we cannot concentrate on the real enemy here. And they know that. And I live in West Virginia. West Virginia is still a beautiful state. If I didn't like where I lived, I wouldn't be here for 76 years. But I watched this state be raped with clear cutting and strip mining. And now we have floods in places where it didn't used to flood because the plant life is gone. And we see, I see this, and I'm by no means an environmentalist as far as education on that. I'm not. But I can see that being just being a common individual, that you don't rape the land without paying a price for it down the line, do you?
Nope. As ye sow, so shall ye reap, right?
Exactly. And our children, our grandchildren, are going, if the earth stands much longer, they're going to pay a price that you and I can't imagine.
If we don't change course, they're not going to be here, Pastor Butch. And I know that's a very difficult pill to swallow.
I can understand that. I can. And can you imagine if the narcissist elite get their way and take us into a global war? There's no way that we can imagine that, Dane. I mean, who wins a nuclear war? Nobody. No. How do you imagine that? I mean, we in America especially have been so spoiled. We become so soft as a people that if a woman breaks her nail, she panics. If a man loses his cell phone in 5 minutes, he panics. I mean, this is America today. We don't think, we don't reason, we don't consider, we don't ponder. We just have our head down and go about our business because tomorrow's going to be the same thing, only better. That's what we believe. Which is, how do you get through their head?
You're so totally correct. Normalcy bias. It is an epidemic here, and it needs to be shattered as soon as possible. And everybody focused on what we need to do to salvage what's left of the planet's life support systems. I have the sun shining on me right now, and it's burning. I mean, it's mid-October, and it's burning. We see right now, even this late in the year, livestock, in the early morning hours, they're already looking for shade because the UV is so intense. And
wow.
People don't understand the ozone layer is so unimaginably thin. If you compressed it to a single molecular level, I think it's 6 or 10 millimeters thick. It's unimaginably thin that allows us to live here. And when it's gone, game over. No terrestrial life.
I know that we're running out of time too. This has been so interesting. One more quick question. Most people have heard about HAARP, the antenna in Alaska, H-A-R-P, H-A-A-R-P. Have they played a part in diminishing the ozone layer also?
The frequency transmissions are also a problem. And we have now, this is where the insanity becomes even more apparent. So just like the pharmaceutical industrial mentality, Pastor Butch, you see a commercial for a certain pharmaceutical, and they name all the side effects, which are really actual effects. And then you realize that you have to take more pharmaceuticals to deal with those side effects, and more, it never ends. So the methane I mentioned is building up in the atmosphere. And now we have Project Lucy, that's an acronym, and Alamo, another acronym, that appear to be fully operational, which means microwaving the atmosphere with opposing frequencies in a desperate and unimaginably dangerous and destructive attempt to molecularly destroy some of the methane. But what else is that doing? What are the other downstream consequences of that? They don't consider that anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a runaway train of power structure programs, so-called scientists, and the public doesn't want to concern itself with anything other than, again, pursuing personal pleasures. That's a bad mix.
It is. I just had a listener type in that it's biblical that that the sun's going to burn man. It's true. That is the Bible. That's right. Men are, I mean, yes, that's true. So we're seeing a lot of things happen. Dang, we're down. I don't know how much time we got left. I see about 5 minutes or so left, I think. But now I'm going to let you say a few words. I'm going to try not to interrupt you. What do you want to convey to the people who are watching this and hearing this? What do you want to tell them right now in the next 2 or 3 minutes that you think is the most important and on top of your mind?
That we're not powerless and they're not gods, and that we should all consider what we can do. And that's where our energy is best expended, not on what we can't control, but what we can. And if we all, again, start spot fires of awareness, at the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org, there's an activist suggestions link. On that link, specific instructions on how you can help to move this fight forward for free from your own home computer, and just by sending out links to the dimming, for example, and CCing as many other concerned people as you can openly, so that whoever you're sending it to, whether it's a farm group manager or an elected official or an environmental article author, do it peacefully, professionally. Let CC as many people as you can. Send a link to the dimming and ask them to explain that, why they're not investigating or acknowledging that. Help start spot fires of awareness. Wake others up. Ask them to do the same. We have to expose this issue. Reaching a critical mass is the only way forward. All of us are needed in that battle.
And folks, go to geoengineeringwatch.org. Geoengineeringwatch.org. Tell your friend about the website. Let them look at, tell them don't take your word for anything. Don't even tell them, don't take your word for good morning. Tell them to go to geoengineeringwatch.org and see what's being said there. And let them look for themselves what's available for them to look into much deeper. Dane said it, I'm saying it. Don't take our word for anything. Look it up. And if we're wrong, correct us. But I think you'll find by the grace of God and the fact that we don't want to be wrong, we try to just tell you the truth, you're not going to find wrong and too many wrong statements made on this broadcast tonight because they're scientific facts or biblical facts. So, but you look for yourself, geoengineeringwatch.org. And I don't know much more time I got left, Dana. Nobody's talking to me, so I guess we got a couple minutes left, like I said. But we, about 3 minutes. Okay, 3 minutes. So we got 3 minutes to go. So, Dane, I want to thank you for all that you've tried to do for 20 years. And you and I go back a few years now, don't we?
Yes, sir.
And I appreciate you. Whenever I call, you always get back to me. And I appreciate that because I know you've been up your eyeballs busy. But I really do appreciate your efforts and for being a friend. Never met you in person, but I consider you a friend and someone that I respect and look up to. And that's why I like to have you on to express your knowledge to the people that far surpasses the average individual on this issue. So thank you for your stand and for your consideration of others and what you're trying to do. Thank you so much.
Same respect and regard back to you, Pastor Butch. You're a rare soul, and that's why time spent with you is time well spent for me. I'm very grateful to know you and honored to call you my friend as well. So it's a team effort.
Thank you. You're right. It is team effort. And I want to thank you for being with me tonight. And I do appreciate such short notice. I know it's short notice to you, and you're out on the road and moving around all the time. But thanks for joining me tonight. And I'm sure the listeners enjoyed your information. Well, I won't say they enjoyed it, but I'm sure they appreciate it and what you tried to share with them. Anything else you want to say very quickly?
The hallmark of a healthy mind is an unyielding willingness to face the truth, no matter how dire. Something we should keep in mind.
Amen. Amen. And not be afraid to speak truth. Thank you, Dane Wigginton, so much for being with us. I do appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Butch.
God bless, my friend. Folks, I don't want, there's nothing I can add to this. I wanted Dane on the night because we've been, all this weather's happening. You've been watching, I'm sure, in the news as I have. And yet, and I'm sure you have questions about it. And Dane is the one that I totally trust to answer the questions in the right way. Give me the truth and information to back up what he's saying. This is all biblical. I've been preaching for 45, 46 years. Been pastoring a total of, 40 years on the radio, 32 years. I'm not a rookie anymore. And I don't think that if I've been spreading false information, or spreading lies in any manner, I will still be out here speaking to people. I try my best in this, for the glory of God. And for those I speak to, for their blessings, to speak the truth on all issues as best I can. I am not a weather man. I'm not intelligent on this issue as intelligent as Dane is. I share his intelligence with you. I agree with what he's saying. We are in dire trouble, but it spreads much further than weather. But as he said, what's all the others going to matter if we destroy the planet? And that's what we've been doing for years. We've judged ourselves. We have judged ourselves with our greed and lust and our apathy against what's going on in this world and in our country. Maybe we can't change it, but by the grace of God, we need to stand up and speak up and do what we can with what time is left for the glory of God and for the sake of our children. Understand that. Okay, how much time is left? Are we done, John? All right, folks, we love you. Talk to you soon. Have a great night.